bagels again? Of course not. Following a zone diet only means that you should use these sources of carbohydrates in moderation, like condiments. Simply make sure that most of your daily intake of carbohydrates comes from fruits and vegetables. Do I have to be obsessive about the zone diet to be successful? No. Obviously, the greater the precision, the greater the results. But if you only play by the rules of the zone game and use the eyeball method, you won't be too far away from the center of the zone. Just remember to pay very close attention to your responses after a meal. Using the simple tools in this audiobook, you'll be able to adjust your hormonal carburetor with increasing precision without having to obsess about portion size, blocks, and calculations. Should I be concerned about such a seemingly low daily caloric intake? If you have excess body fat, greater than 15% for males and greater than 22% for females, then all the calories you need are already stored on your body. Remember that the typical male or female in this country carries about 100,000 calories of stored body fat on them at all times. To put this in perspective, this represents approximately 1,700 pancakes, which is a pretty big breakfast. To access those 1,700 pancakes, you simply need a hormonal ATM card to release these stored fat calories. The zone diet is that card. If you're using that ATM card correctly, you don't have to consume as many external calories to meet your body's energy requirements. On the zone diet, you're eating as if you're already at your ideal percentage of body fat. Because you are using a combination of your stored body fat and incoming calories to meet your total caloric requirements. Doesn't any low-calorie diet cause fat loss? Not necessarily. Research studies in the 1950s, conducted by Kickwick and Powen at the Middlesex Hospital in London, demonstrate that on diets consisting of 1,000 calories per day, all patients lost substantial weight on a high-protein, high-fat, or mixed diets. But most patients actually gained weight on a high-carbohydrate diet. Cutting back calories without gaining access to your hormonal ATM card is a surefire prescription for deprivation, constant hunger, and fatigue. Anytime you reduce calories, you will lose some weight, but eventually you hit a hormonal plateau where the weight loss and, more importantly, fat loss stops, but the feelings of hunger, deprivation, and fatigue continue. The zone diet is not a diet. It's a hormonal control program that allows you to optimize the quality of your life. What is more important, the amount of carbohydrates you consume or the glycemic index of the carbohydrates you eat? The total intake of carbohydrates is most important. However, you will get even greater results on the zone diet by making sure most of your carbohydrates come from low glycemic carbohydrates. By eating low glycemic foods, you are retarding their rate of entry into the bloodstream, thereby maintaining the best possible balance of your insulin levels. In addition, low glycemic carbohydrates provide the maximum amounts of vitamins and minerals with the least amount of carbohydrate. Finally, by eating primarily low glycemic carbohydrates, you will be constantly faced with a very hearty meal because low glycemic carbohydrates are also low-density carbohydrates. It is simply very hard, if not impossible, to overconsume low-density carbohydrates such as fruits and vegetables. How long before I can expect to see results on the zone diet? Within 2 to 3 days, you should see a noticeable reduction in your carbohydrate cravings with an increased mental focus. Within 5 days, you will notice a significant increase in your lack of hunger throughout the day, coupled with better physical performance. Within 2 weeks, although you may not have lost much weight, you will notice your clothes are fitting much better. Keep in mind, the maximum fat loss you can expect is 1 to 1.5 pounds of fat per week. It is simply impossible to reduce excess body fat any faster. Why doesn't the zone diet include the protein content of carbohydrate-rich sources like vegetables or grains? Because people would get too bogged down in the calculations. A significant amount of the protein in these foods is not absorbed. Therefore, one has to impose correction factors to take into account the actual amount of protein that is absorbed and thus its effect on a hormonal response. Since vegetable sources are not very protein dense, it makes more sense to ignore their protein contribution. Vegetarians should make sure they always include protein-rich vegetarian sources such as firm tofu, isolated protein powders, or soybean imitation meat products at every meal to ensure adequate protein intake. What is the minimum amount of daily protein block intake? Regardless of your protein calculations, I always recommend a minimum of 8 protein blocks throughout the day for adults. Won't a high protein diet cause osteoporosis and kidney failure? Not if you're eating a protein adequate diet. This is one of the great myths of nutrition. No one should be eating more protein than their body requires, but conversely, no one should be eating less, because to do so is to put yourself in a state of protein malnutrition. On the Zone diet, you're not only eating adequate protein, but also spreading it over 3 meals and 2 snacks. It's almost as if you're receiving an intravenous drip of protein. Excessive protein at any meal can't be stored by the body and therefore has to be converted to fat. The first step of this conversion process is the removal of the amino group from the protein, which can put a strain on the kidney if excessive protein is floating around in the bloodstream. Furthermore, the newest research indicates that even for patients with kidney failure, the earlier reports about protein restriction may have been overblown. Calcium loss, even when eating excessive amounts of protein, is completely blocked if adequate calcium is supplied with the protein. The one mineral many women don't get enough of is calcium. So if you are concerned, drink a glass of milk with each meal or take a calcium supplement. Why don't the French have high rates of heart disease? Nutritionists just hate the French. They smoke, they drink, they eat lots of fat, they don't exercise, and they seem to have a very good time. And they also have the lowest rates of heart disease in Europe. It's called the French paradox. It's only a paradox if it's contrary to your expectations. Obviously, there are a number of reasons for these surprising statistics, but I believe the major factor is their meals are moderate in calories, rich in fruits and vegetables, always contain protein, and they do include fat. That's basically the Zone diet. We also have the so-called Spanish paradox. In the last 20 years, Spaniards have eaten more protein, more fat, and fewer grains, and their rates of cardiovascular disease are dropping. These are not paradoxes, simply adjustments in the hormonal responses of a population to a changing diet. The Chinese eat lots of rice. Don't they have low rates of heart disease? No, according to the American Heart Association. The rates of cardiovascular disease in urban Chinese males are nearly as great as Americans. And Chinese females, both rural and urban, actually have greater rates of cardiovascular disease than American females. This data demonstrates the danger of using epidemiological data to make far-reaching dietary assumptions. I'm concerned about pesticides on fruits and vegetables, and the hormones and antibiotics used in beef and chicken production. What should I do? These are valid concerns. You should always try to eat organic fruits and vegetables and range-fed beef and chicken. However, be prepared to pay a significantly higher price and be willing to cope with their reduced availability. Don't, however, make this an excuse for not eating the appropriate protein-to-carbohydrate ratio at every meal. I'm not overweight. Why would I need to follow the Zone diet? The Zone diet is not a diet. It's a lifelong hormonal control program. Loss of excess body fat is only a side effect. The Zone diet was originally developed for cardiovascular patients and was tested on world-class athletes. Between those two extremes lies everyone else. If you're at your ideal percent body fat and you want to think better and perform better, then the Zone diet is for you. When was the Zone diet developed? The program has been undergoing constant testing and revision since 1984. The present program represents the seventh generation of my original concept to control hormonal responses using dietary intervention. The Zone provides a more detailed history of this development process. The Zone diet has been used by thousands of individuals during this developmental period since 1984. Can I still continue to use my vitamins and minerals? Vitamins and minerals are an excellent low-cost insurance policy to ensure adequate levels of these micronutrients. However, a Zone diet, which is primarily composed of low-fat protein, fruits and vegetables, provides an excellent base of vitamins and minerals and requires much less supplementation. The only supplement that I strongly recommend is extra vitamin E, since the Zone diet is still a low total fat diet, and most dietary vitamin E comes from fat. What exactly do you mean by use in moderation when referring to unfavorable carbohydrates? Try not to make unfavorable carbohydrates, grains, starches, breads, and pasta, more than 25% of the total carbohydrate blocks in a meal. Use them as condiments, not as the primary source of your carbohydrate intake. Should I be concerned about sodium? Not if you're following a Zone diet, because excess insulin activates another hormonal system that promotes sodium retention. However, it always makes sense not to use excessive amounts of sodium. I'm a pure vegetarian. How can I make this diet work for me? Simply add protein-rich vegetarian foods to your existing diet to maintain the correct protein-to-carbohydrate ratio. Ideal choices would be firm and extra firm tofu and isolated soybean protein powder. The new generation of soybean-based imitation meat products are another excellent way of getting protein-rich vegetarian foods into your existing meals. Traditional vegetarian protein sources, such as beans, have an exceptionally high amount of carbohydrate for the amount of protein they provide, which makes it impossible to achieve the desired protein-to-carbohydrate ratio needed to enter the Zone. Which protein powders are best? Excellent sources of isolated protein include egg and milk combinations and lactose-free whey powder. For vegetarians, isolated soy protein powders are excellent choices. Protein powders are available at most health food stores. These protein powders can be added to carbohydrate-rich meals like oatmeal to make them more hormonally favorable. They can also be added to flours and mixes for cooking and baking to fortify the protein content. What impact will various cooking methods have on the quality of the macronutrients or micronutrients? Cooking has little effect on the macronutrients, except that excessive heat can damage and cross-link protein with carbohydrates. However, cooking can have a significant negative effect on micronutrients, vitamins, and minerals. Vitamins are extraordinarily sensitive to heat, and minerals can be leached out of food when cooked with water. Therefore, steaming vegetables is an ideal preparation method to retain micronutrients and yet make the vegetables more digestible. Fruits are usually eaten raw, retaining all of their micronutrients. The more carbohydrates are processed or cooked, the more rapid the rate of entry into the bloodstream. This is why instant forms of carbohydrate, like instant rice or instant potatoes, should be avoided. Do I eat my meal or snack even when I'm not hungry? Yes. This is the best time to eat in order to maintain hormonal equilibrium from one meal to the next. Will this diet heal the damage done to my body over the years? The body has a remarkable ability to repair itself given the appropriate tools. The best of those tools is the diet, especially one that orchestrates the appropriate hormonal responses that accelerate the repair process. Why don't I count all the protein, carbohydrate, and fat in everything I eat? because you would probably need a mini-computer to make all the calculations. This is why we devised the block method that takes into account fat content and protein digestibility, the fat content in low-fat protein, and the insulin-sensitive carbohydrate content of carbohydrates, making your calculations for preparing each meal exceptionally simple. Will a liquid meal in the correct ratio get me to the zone? If not, why not? A liquid meal has a much greater surface area than solid food. As a result, the digestion and entry rate of macronutrients into the bloodstream cannot be controlled as well, and there is a corresponding decrease in the desired hormonal control. Liquid meals are more convenient, but they are not as hormonally desirable as solid food. They can be used occasionally if you just don't have time to cook. Can children use the zone diet? The diet is ideal for children because they need to be in the zone even more than adults. For children, assume that they have 10% body fat when you make their lean body mass calculations. Then, whatever their activity factor actually is, increase it by 2 levels. This is to ensure more than adequate protein for growth spurts. The one protein source that virtually every child will eat is string cheese. Although a little high in saturated fat, string cheese is a good way to begin to introduce more protein in your child's diet. This leaves just the hard part for parents, getting your kids to eat fruits and vegetables instead of pasta and bread. How do I know that 2 years from now, the zone diet will not turn out to be like other diets that initially produce great results? The zone diet is not a diet, but a lifelong hormonal control program that allows you to maximize your full genetic potential. These hormonal systems have evolved over the last 40 million years and are unlikely to change soon. Surprisingly, many diets are based on gluttony. Either eat all the carbohydrate you want, high carbohydrate, low fat diets, or eat all the protein and fat you want, high protein and low carbohydrate diets. The zone diet is based on moderation. There are limits on the amount of protein, carbohydrate, and fat consumed at every meal. I'm off the body fat calculation charts found in the zone. What should I do? Assume that you have 50% body fat. With time, you will lose sufficient fat, so you can follow the percent body fat charts. If you're off the weight charts, then also increase your physical activity by 1 level. Because with all the extra fat you have, you are essentially doing light weight training 24 hours a day. Why do I need extra fat? What does it do? Paradoxically, it takes fat to burn fat, if that fat is monounsaturated fat. Remember, this is not an excuse for fat gluttony, but the need to add back reasonable amounts of fat to each meal. First, fat acts like a control rod to slow the rate of entry of carbohydrate into the bloodstream, thereby reducing insulin response. Second, it releases a hormone, cholecystokinin, or CCK, from the stomach that tells the brain to stop eating. Third, it supplies the building blocks for eicosanoids. Most of your fat intake should be in the form of monounsaturated fat, and the amount of fat you consume is dictated by the amount of protein you consume at each meal. Can I lose too much body fat? Obviously, it's possible to lose too much body fat. So once you reach a percent body fat that you're happy with and wish to stabilize your weight at that point, simply add more monounsaturated fat to your diet. This extra monounsaturated fat will act as a caloric ballast to provide those extra calories to maintain your percent body fat without affecting insulin levels. Why? Monounsaturated fat has no effect on insulin. It's hormonally neutral. Why is a fat block only 1.5 grams instead of 3 grams? Every block of low-fat protein contains approximately 1 block of hidden fat. Therefore, by adding 1 extra fat block for each block of low-fat protein, one is actually consuming 2 fat blocks for each protein block. If you are using fat-free protein sources, such as isolated protein powders, then you should be adding 2 blocks of fat to achieve the same ratio. Obviously, if you're eating higher fat protein choices, you would not be adding any extra fat blocks to your meal. Remember that every time you add additional fat blocks to a meal, they should be composed primarily of monounsaturated fat. What's wrong with supplementing my diet with flaxseed oil? A central theme in the zone is reduction of arachidonic acid levels by the diet. Controlling insulin is your most powerful tool, but the addition of omega-3 fatty acids can also have a significant benefit. Flaxseed oil is rich in alpha-linolenic acid, which is an omega-3 fatty acid and therefore has some use in controlling arachidonic acid production. But if you're going to supplement with omega-3 oil, then I recommend fish oil, which is rich in the best omega-3 fatty acid, eicosapentaenoic acid, or EPA. EPA has a tenfold greater impact on reducing the production of beta-carotenoids than does alpha-linolenic acid on a gram-for-gram basis. Another reason I prefer fish oil over flaxseed oil is that excess consumption of alpha-linolenic acid in flaxseed oil tends to reduce the production of gamma-linolenic acid, the building block of good eicosanoids. What's excess? Anything more than 1 tablespoon per day. Finally, the vast body of research data on the clinical benefits of EPA is overwhelming. Therefore, supplementation with EPA as opposed to alpha-linolenic acid will have a far greater impact in getting you into the zone. But before you supplement your diet with any omega-3 fatty acid supplements, try to get those fatty acids from food itself. The best source of EPA? Salmon. Of course, you could do what your grandmother did in her day to ensure adequate levels of EPA and take cod liver oil. Besides salmon, where can I get EPA and how often should I eat fish each week? Other sources that are rich in EPA include mackerel and sardines. Other marine sources that have a lower EPA content are common fish such as tuna, swordfish, scallops, shrimp, and lobster. Try to consume about 300 milligrams of EPA per week. This would translate into 1 serving of salmon or 4 servings of tuna or like fish per week. 1 teaspoon of cod liver oil contains about 500 milligrams of EPA. How can I tell if a fish oil has been molecularly distilled? The best indication that a fish oil capsule or cod liver oil containing EPA has been molecularly distilled is that it is cholesterol-free. This means that any residual PCBs that might have been found even in refined fish oil have been removed. I'm a vegetarian and can't use fish oil. What should I do? This is the one case I would suggest supplementation to your diet with flaxseed oil as a source of omega-3 fatty acids. But I would recommend no more than 1 tablespoon of refined flaxseed oil per day so that the natural production of gamma-linolenic acid is not compromised. How do I adjust my hormonal carburetor? Not everybody is genetically the same. Your hormonal carburetor is based upon a protein-to-carbohydrate ratio that generates the best hormonal response for you. That hormonal response is easily measured by asking yourself, how do I feel 4 to 6 hours after a meal? If you maintain excellent mental clarity and have no hunger, then the protein-to-carbohydrate ratio in your last meal you ate is correct for you. Your goal is to make every meal with the same ratio to generate the same hormonal response. For the vast majority of people, this ratio is 3 grams of protein for every 4 grams of insulin-promoting carbohydrate. So the most effective way to fine-tune your own carburetor is to start with this ratio and then experiment slightly on either side to determine your limits by using hunger and mental clarity as the parameters to optimize. I'm still hungry on the zone diet. What should I do? You need to make a slight adjustment to your hormonal carburetor. Always look back to your last meal. If you feel hungry within 2 to 3 hours after your last meal and experience a drop-off in mental focus due to low blood sugar, it is because you consumed too much carbohydrate relative to the amount of protein at your last meal. As a result, you're making too many beta-carotenoids due to an increase in insulin secretion that has taken you out of the zone. Simply make that same meal in the future and keep the protein content constant, but reduce the carbohydrate amount by one block. On the other hand, if you're feeling hungry before any 4 to 6 hour cycle ends, but maintain good mental focus, you're actually making too many glucocorticoids, which is pushing insulin levels too low. The brain has a sensing mechanism that picks up low insulin levels in the bloodstream and tells you to eat to increase insulin levels, even though your brain is getting plenty of blood sugar, hence the good mental focus. Simply make that same meal in the future and now add one additional block of carbohydrate to the meal. In essence, what you are doing is adjusting your personal hormonal carburetor to get to the center of the zone. In either case, you should add more monounsaturated fat to either meal, as fat releases the hormone cholecystokinin that promotes a feeling of fullness, which is known as satiety. I have developed some constipation. What should I do? A zone diet will switch your body to a fat-burning metabolism instead of a carbohydrate-burning metabolism. The metabolism of fat requires greater amounts of water on a daily basis. So the first step is to increase your water intake by 50%. If this isn't sufficient to reduce the constipation, then it means you're probably releasing some stored arachidonic acid from your fat cells. For about 25% of the population, there will be a transitory release of stored arachidonic acid, the building block of bad eicosanoids, from stored body fat. The buildup of extra arachidonic acid in your stored body fat is the result of your previous dietary patterns. This temporary increase in arachidonic acid can give rise to constipation by reducing water flow into the colon. Adding extra EPA to your diet will minimize this transitory effect. The best source of EPA is fish. But another good source is fish oil capsules, as long as the fish oil has gone through a molecular distillation process. I would also recommend taking some crystalline vitamin C with each meal, or having Sienna tea every other day. Alternatively, you can slow down the accessing to your stored body fat by making a slight adjustment in your hormonal carburetor and add one extra carbohydrate block to each meal. As I drop weight, should I drop the number of protein blocks I eat? No. The weight you are dropping is pure fat. The program is designed to maintain your lean body mass, which requires protein to maintain it. In essence, on the zone diet, you are eating as if you are already at your ideal body weight. The only time to change your protein block intake is when you change your physical activity level or see a significant change in your lean body mass. However, you should recalculate your lean body mass after 2 weeks on the diet if you're overweight, since you may lose some retained water, which artificially inflates your real lean body mass. This recalculation will provide you with your real lean body mass upon which to base your protein requirements. Should I add protein if I'm trying to gain lean body mass? The only way to build muscle mass is by exercise, primarily weight training. However, building 1 pound of new muscle mass per month is a noble goal. To do so, however, requires only one extra protein block per day in addition to the number of protein blocks required to maintain your existing lean body mass. Remember, 1 pound of new muscle equals 454 grams. But muscle is 70% water, which means that 1 pound of new muscle contains about 136 grams of protein. Divide 136 grams by 30 days, and you get 4.5 grams of extra protein per day required to build new muscle. Taking in one extra block of protein per day will be more than adequate in your quest to add 1 extra pound of muscle per month. How should I alter this diet if I'm pregnant and/or nursing my child? If you are pregnant or nursing, you should be using the Zone Diet to ensure adequate protein intake. For pregnant women, whatever your physical activity level actually is, increase it by 2 levels. For example, if you have a physical activity level of 0.7 grams of protein per pound of lean body mass, then increase it to 0.9 grams of protein per pound of lean body mass. For nursing mothers, increase your physical activity factor by 1 level over your actual physical activity level. Can I cut back on fat blocks as long as I match my protein and carbohydrate requirements? You can, but ironically, you will not lose as much fat. The small amount of added fat acts like a control rod to reduce the rate of entry of carbohydrates into the bloodstream, thereby reducing insulin secretion. By reducing insulin, you can access your stored body fat more effectively. Also, the fat causes the release of the hormone cholecystokinin that promotes satiety between meals. Of course, any added fat to your diet should be primarily monounsaturated fat, such as olive oil, guacamole, almonds, or macadamia nuts. How do I get even more information? Visit my worldwide website at icotec.com. The Icotec is spelled E-I-C-O-T-E-C-H. This website is a virtual online Zone magazine with weekly updates on new recipes, medical research news, and additional helpful hints to stay in the zone. Consider this website to be your online Zone community center. Being in the zone will help you think better, perform better, and look better. But the power of this dietary technology goes far beyond these benefits alone. It was developed to treat what I call either-or medical conditions. Medical conditions that either have no treatment or those in which the treatments are less than desirable. Hormonal control will be the key to 21st century medicine. And much of this hormonal control comes from the food that you eat. Take advantage of this fact when you enter the zone. Once you are in the zone, you are now in position to control the most powerful hormones in your body, eicosanoids. You make over 100 different types of these hormones, and they affect every cell in your body. They can keep you well, or they can make you sick. You control them by controlling insulin levels, and you control insulin levels by your diet. The end result is that some very remarkable changes are possible if you treat food with the same respect you treat a prescription drug. I can tell you this over and over, but perhaps you'd like to hear what other people have to say about the Zone Diet and how it has affected their life. These are their stories. They may begin like yours or like the story of someone else you know. Their endings, however, come straight from the zone. Nothing is more frightening than an organ transplant. The only time you undergo one is when you are literally days from death. Consider the story of Mary P., whose lung capacity was so compromised that she required a double lung transplant just to survive. Last year, she began the Zone Diet and won a gold medal in the 20-kilometer cycling event at the 1995 World Transplant Games. Nowadays, she routinely races in 100-mile-plus events at the age of 49. Does being in the zone help? Mary likes to think so. If organ transplants mean you're close to death, then having cancer is not far behind. Consider the tale of Willard H., a prostate cancer survivor who wrote, "I just returned from the Mayo Clinic, where I go for my annual physical. Every test came out well. My PSA, a marker for prostate cancer, is undetectable. My cholesterol has continued to decrease from 210 to 150. Thanks and congratulations go to you and the Zone. I spoke with my physicians about the Zone diet. They were not experts on nutrition, but they thought it was a pretty good program. Neither their encouragement nor their discouragement would have made a difference to me. I'm on your program for life. I give a lot of credit to your program for keeping my PSA at the bottom of the scale. Reaching the zone is all about this improved quality of life. That's why I particularly liked the letter I got from Joan S., who wrote, "This incurable multiple sclerosis is reversing after 16 years. It feels like I'm living a miracle. I'm glad that I've kept daily notes because it seems unbelievable. I keep pinching myself." What is even more encouraging are letters from individuals who have been on medication for decades, like Louise P. Louise wrote me the following. "For 40 years, I have been taking thyroid pills and drugs against depression. In addition, I had high blood pressure of 180 over 95 that was only controlled by medication. Since my understanding of your concept pertaining to the zone and applying its principles, I am a healthy person taking no more thyroid pills, no more antidepressants, no more high blood pressure medications since my blood pressure is now 120 over 70. I thank you with the deepest gratitude for restoring my health through your dietary guidelines. And my husband and child feel the same way." Reductions in blood pressure are common, as Steve W. wrote. "I tried your program and am very satisfied. My blood pressure was 132 over 103. Even after cutting out desserts and having my weight drop to 172, my blood pressure had not changed. After 45 days on the Zone diet, my weight is now in the low 160s, but my blood pressure has dropped to 103 over 73. I guess you can say you probably saved my life. I'm sorry that I had to give up so many of my favorite things, such as bread, pizza, and rice, but I'm now developing new favorites, such as cherries, peaches, blueberries, turkey breast, and more. I guess it's a small price to pay to live longer." I also received a letter from Pat G., who wrote, "I weighed 205 pounds and was a type 2 diabetic. My brain was always foggy from the use of my medications. After 4 months on the Zone diet, I have lost 41 pounds. I feel great. My body is still changing. My muscles are building and becoming more toned while I am losing fat. I take no medications. My blood sugar levels continue to remain in the normal range. I have very little, if any, pain from my back and my leg. My doctor can't believe it." Pat's experience in the zone and the resulting control of blood sugar is no different than lots of other people, including Fyodor L., who wrote, "During the month of September, I developed a strange taste of sawdust in my mouth and some needle pain in my liver, in addition to a small amount of foam in my urine. I decided to go to my doctor, and my blood test of October 13th showed a fasting blood glucose level of 288 and inflammation of the liver. He prescribed a medication for diabetes and then asked me to come back in 6 weeks for another test. I seriously pondered whether to try your zone diet and not the medication. I reported to my doctor, who, as expected, was not at all pleased. I bargained with him for 4 weeks of a trial. I confessed to him that I had abused my body for the last 40 years. I'm now 71. I wanted to give my body a chance for recovery. Scared to death, I followed the Zone diet to the letter. 4 weeks later, my blood glucose test was 103, totally normal. Then on purpose, I exited the Zone diet a bit, and a week later, my blood sugar had risen to 126. I am truly feeling that food must be perceived as a drug. Relief from pain is crucial for a quality of life. That's why I was happy to receive the letter from Brenda D. Brenda is a healthcare professional who is not only overweight, but also suffered from repetitive stress injuries that had required 3 separate surgeries. She was still taking 18 aspirins per day to ease the pain. In her letter, Belinda wrote, "When I picked up your book in the bookstore, my first response was to put it back on the shelf and renew my promise not to try a diet program. What made me stop and buy the book was a section I read on chronic pain and arthritis. At that point, I was ready to try anything. Within a month of following the Zone diet, my pain levels were reduced to the point where I had stopped taking all medication, and I was actually returning to basically pain-free living. The weight loss I have experienced has been an added bonus to the way I feel. For the record, I have lost 40 pounds in the last 5 months. I have a ways to go, but I feel no stress in getting to my ideal weight. My husband has been equally successful in the Zone. He has returned to his ideal weight of 178 from 220, and it's like having a new man around the house. The biggest improvement has come from his emotional well-being. Thank you again for your work and for publishing the information in such a clear and concise manner." There are many more stories like these, but I feel the examples I have chosen are representative of my basic premise that food is a very powerful drug if used correctly. But what about overweight individuals who use exercise to lose weight? Consider Steve G., who weighed 313 pounds. Determined to change his life, Steve started biking and running 1.5 hours per day and sticking to a 1,000-calorie-a-day diet rich in carbohydrates and low in fat. Within a year, he had reached 250. For the next year and a half, he did the same exercise and low-calorie, high-carbohydrate diet, and nothing happened. His weight remained the same. As he wrote in a letter to me, "I noticed your book this past summer one day in a bookstore. I could not believe what perfect sense you made. I actually cut back on some of my exercise and added more fat to my diet. I applied your technology, and the weight has been dropping off. I'm down to 205 now and headed toward my ultimate goal of 174. On top of it all, I feel energized, whereas on every other diet, I always felt very drained. The Zone simply works." Probably the best summary letter came from Lynn D. "I usually don't write fan mail, but after reading about your research results in the New York Times, I was intrigued enough to buy your book. To say that it was the best health investment I have ever made would be an understatement. As I read your book, I found myself wondering if you wrote it specifically for me. Your book was an epiphany for me. It makes such incredible sense. The body fat that I could not lose began melting away after about 3 days on the Zone diet. The cravings disappeared. Yet I found I could eat just 3 ounces of ice cream and not crave the rest of the carton. I haven't had real ice cream in years. This was incredible. At the risk of sounding overly dramatic, you have been instrumental in returning control back to me. And it's such a powerful feeling that I felt compelled to write to you to thank you personally. I may sound like a TV infomercial, but my energy has tripled. My clothes had to be taken in so they would fit. I'm sleeping better than I have in years, and I'm experiencing a profound change in the way I view food. Food is no longer a reward for me. I still love to eat, but food has become a necessary fuel to be mixed properly for maximum energy output. Your comparison of food to medicine is brilliant, yet so simple. Why didn't I make that connection? I wish you continued success in your crusade, and please add my name to the list of individuals who have seen the light. Obviously, I'm very gratified when I receive such letters, testimonials, and profound thanks from people who feel I've changed their lives. But I tell these people, it wasn't I who changed their lives, but they did. I only provided them with the rules and the tools to make the changes. They are the ones who really deserve all the credit. After hearing their stories, something may have struck a resonant chord in your life. I hope that some of these stories illustrate the potential of the Zone Diet to influence your health and performance. It's not that the Zone Diet is revolutionary. It's just that it requires you to look at food hormonally and take responsibility when you eat. A small price to pay for super health. Although the Zone Diet was developed to treat disease, the same hormonal control technology can dramatically improve athletic performance. The crucible for testing that statement occurs every 4 years at the Olympic Games. One of the most important events that occurred in the development of the Zone Diet was my meeting with the Stanford University swim team coaches, Skip Kinney and Richard Quick, many years ago. Their willingness to commit their highly successful programs to a radically new dietary approach was a testimony to their belief that this technology could take their athletes to a higher level. In 1992, the opportunity for testing their faith was rewarded when Stanford swimmers won 8 gold medals in Barcelona. 4 years later, in 1996, Richard and Skip are the U.S. Olympic men's and women's head swim coaches. Not surprisingly, considering that they had won 8 out of the last 10 NC2A swimming championships since integrating the Zone Diet into their respective programs in 1992. And just like the 1992 Olympics, 1996 in Atlanta proved no different. Another 8 gold medals in swimming and another gold medal in track and field. Winning medals is not the only goal of the Olympics. It is the opportunity for the best of the world to compete. Just the opportunity to participate in the Olympics is a dream of every athlete. Were the diets of these elite athletes radically different from the previous people you've heard from? No. In fact, as I've already shown you, they are remarkably similar to that of the typical American, except that these athletes require more protein and much more fat than the average person. In essence, within everyone's body lies the potential to at least look like an Olympic athlete, even if you can't perform like one. Many critics have called the Zone Diet a high-protein diet, which simply isn't true. Calling the Zone Diet a low-carbohydrate diet isn't correct either. Calling the Zone Diet a high-fat diet also doesn't hold water. The actual total fat consumed on the Zone Diet is similar to that consumed on a typical vegetarian diet. A protein-adequate, carbohydrate-moderate, low-fat diet rich in fruits and vegetables, that's the definition of the Zone Diet. Since the publication of the Zone, other important studies have been published which further reinforce my concepts about the relationship of elevated insulin to cardiovascular disease. The first, which appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1996, showed that very slight elevations in fasting insulin levels made a very significant difference in predicting who did or who did not develop heart disease. The second appeared in the journal Coronary Artery Disease and concluded that the existence and severity of existing cardiovascular disease is strongly related to very slight increases in serum insulin. These studies support the basic tenet of the Zone, that elevated insulin is exceptionally dangerous to your health. The tenet is also strongly supported by recent research from Harvard Medical School, first presented at the 1995 American Heart Association meeting, where a research report demonstrated the ratio of triglycerides to HDL cholesterol is a powerful predictor of heart disease. This study indicated that patients with higher triglyceride to HDL cholesterol ratios were 17 times more likely to have a heart attack than those with lower triglyceride to HDL cholesterol ratios. The relationship of obesity, insulin, and heart disease is now emerging more clearly. For example, a recent Harvard Medical School study published in 1995 demonstrated that if a woman had gained more than 15 to 20 pounds since the age of 18, she is at much higher risk of developing heart disease. Many of my critics often rely upon epidemiological studies to support their case for consuming high carbohydrate diets, insisting that any study of less than 1 year in duration isn't meaningful, since it takes a long time for heart disease to develop. However, when considering epidemiological data about heart disease, I feel the only statistic that really counts is mortality. Epidemiological studies can be misleading. As Dr. Charlie Hennekens of the Harvard Medical School has said, epidemiology is a crude and inexact science. 80% of the cases are almost hypotheses. The power of epidemiology is to identify a potential hypothesis from large-scale population studies in order to set up controlled clinical experiments to prove or disprove the hypothesis. In February 1996, such a study was done and the results were reported in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. This study controlled the diet of overweight, hyperinsulinemic patients by confining them to a hospital ward for 6 weeks. The composition of the diet used in this study was essentially equivalent to the zone diet. During the study, the patients lowered their blood glucose, triglycerides, and insulin. Changing the protein-to-carbohydrate ratio of any diet will alter insulin levels and in turn lead to significant clinical improvement of blood glucose, triglycerides, and the triglyceride-to-HDL cholesterol ratio for patients. And if you look at the clinical parameters, in particular the triglyceride-to-HDL cholesterol ratio, the zone diet meets all the clinical criteria of a hormonally correct diet. And the longer the patient stayed on the zone diet, the better the clinical results. If a growing body of research indicates something is wrong with our carbohydrate mania in treating overweight patients, why is it that the general population and the vast majority of physicians still embrace the high-carbohydrate diet as the cure-all for our epidemic rise in obesity? One factor may be that the high-carbohydrate diet gives comfort if you're thinking calorically. The other factor that fuels this country's carbohydrate mania to keep Americans eating more and more carbohydrates is economics. One has to be realistic. There's a lot of money involved in promoting the high-carbohydrate diet. First, if you're a country producing millions of tons of wheat each year, what are you going to do with it? Animals won't eat it. The only thing wheat is good for is making bread, pasta, and bagels. And if you have a strong political lobby, you're going to do everything in your power to make sure the government encourages its citizens to buy as many wheat products as possible. Second, if you're in the food manufacturing business, selling prepackaged carbohydrates makes excellent business sense. Protein is expensive, and fats go rancid. Given the opportunity to remove as much protein and fat as possible from packaged foods will not only improve shelf life, but also reduce cost. It only makes good economic sense to do so. Furthermore, carbohydrates are dirt cheap. They last forever, they are politically correct, and they have the U.S. government seal of approval plus billions of free advertising dollars to promote their consumption. It only makes sense to cater to this carbohydrate mania. Finally, the U.S. government, in an attempt to improve the health of the country, embraced a dietary concept that was not well thought out in advance in terms of its hormonal consequences. It was a case of shoot, ready, aim. I don't feel there's any conspiracy to fatten Americans and make them less healthy. I do feel it has been the convergence of these three trends, a strong wheat lobby, profits in the food manufacturing sector, and the governmental-driven consensus that is leading our country down a pathway toward a growing medical crisis. And there's definite trouble lying ahead for the U.S. healthcare system. In early 1996, the American Heart Association announced for the first time since 1980, deaths from cardiovascular disease are increasing. I'm afraid the hormonal chickens released during the last 15 years of carbohydrate mania are coming home to roost. Therefore, what is the best diet? It's one you can stay on the rest of your life and one that meets the clinical criteria I have outlined. I believe that any of my critics should agree that these are reasonable standards. Once we begin to treat nutrition as a science that can be judged by scientific standards as opposed to some political or philosophical agenda, we as a country can get back to nutritional common sense. Every American should wake up to the new realities about access to unlimited, low-cost medical care in the 21st century. It's not going to be there, especially with the growing crisis in entitlement programs like Medicare. So you had better start planning now. In other words, your best health insurance policy is to achieve super health as quickly as possible. As I stated in the beginning, super health is doing everything in your power to control hormonal levels and reduce the likelihood of developing chronic disease. You have to eat, so you might as well eat smart. Americans have the greatest potential to do this because we have the cheapest food in the world. Nonetheless, virtually no one in this country eats adequate levels of fruits and vegetables. Instead, we can't get enough fat-free, prepackaged goods. And in the process, we are moving rapidly toward a medical abyss. And if you don't care about yourself, think about your children. Childhood obesity has increased by 50% over the last decade. At least give them a chance to get the most out of their lives. You control their food choices because you make them and you buy their food. If you don't like what has happened to your own body composition and energy levels in the last 15 years of carbohydrate gluttony, you at least experienced what it was like to have less body fat and greater energy in your youth. Give your kids the same chance. I've tried to give you as many of the helpful hints as possible so as to allow you to reorganize your dietary life. In reality, the adjustments are very easy. Just begin thinking hormonally. This is the big step, moving away from caloric thinking to embrace hormonal thinking. And once you understand hormonal thinking, it becomes clear that in the last 15 years, we have lost all common sense as to what constitutes a good diet. Many of you could have had a far better quality of life in the last 15 years if you had only been given the correct information. And this information has been in the scientific, peer-reviewed literature for decades. It was conveniently ignored because it didn't fit into a preconceived notion of a correct diet. You have the ultimate control of your diet. I'm the first to realize that disease prevention is a pretty low priority for people in today's world. People often think only of what's in it for me today. All I can ask is you follow the program for 2 weeks. At the end of 2 weeks, if you're thinking better, performing better, and looking better, then stick to the program for another 2 weeks. At the end of 4 weeks, if you're still feeling good, try another 2 weeks. That's not much of a sacrifice. What I hope to have accomplished is to show you how nutrition can dramatically alter your life if it's based on a combination of science and common sense. The 21st century will be the century in which man finally learns to harness the most powerful drugs known, hormones. And in the era of hormonal control, the most powerful drug of all will be called food.
We hope you've enjoyed this program from Harper Audio. To order additional cassettes or to receive a complete catalog of Harper Audio and Cadman titles, please call us at 1-800-331-3761. That's 1-800-331-3761. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.